ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
It is The Skinny on Sports, your Monday version right here on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADSD Sports Animal. Jared Atha in studio on location. Aaron Calc, he is at Boiling Springs Golf Course just north of Woodward, Oklahoma for the 4A Boys State Golf Tournament following the Big Elks on their quest for yet another state title. So we'll have updates from him and John all day long on BigOakTV.com. We'll cover that coming up in much, much more. In fact, let's just go ahead and bring Aaron in right now. Aaron, you there, bud?
Yeah. In the process of getting unloaded.
All right. Big day. Big day for the Big Elks. Again, we'll get to all that coming up, but remind everybody how you can follow us, how you can be a part of the show. You can text us at 580-225-9698. You can follow us on KADSAM.com. That's where you can listen to the show live or a replay of the show. It's all archived right there. Also on iTunes. Follow our podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, and you'll see us post that on there as well, and other information as it comes to us. And the Paragon app, that's what we always stress. The Paragon app not only gets you us, but it gets you everything Paragon related. We're talking KECO, we're talking Cool 94, of course KADS, the Penny News, Paragon TV. It's all right there in one convenient app. Okay, Aaron, it's been a crazy last few days sports-wise, locally. I think the biggest news was the Elks baseball team, Big Elk baseball team, punching their ticket to state. I mean, that had to leave you with a buzz after you left the park Friday night.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You know, it was Thursday. I told everybody was talking when we were leaving. You know, Thursday was a lot easier on the heart. With 2-10-0 wins, you know, a couple of run rules and such. Friday's game was certainly not that. Bean jumped out with a run in the first, 4 in the third. It was 5-0. Even into the bottom of the fifth, it was still 5-0. And then all of a sudden it just changed. It was amazing how fast it changed. You know, the first two hitters in the fifth, the home half of the fifth for the Elks, basically just nubbed it back to the pitcher, and you're sitting there thinking, man, two outs, this inning's over, and now the Elks will have 6 outs to figure out a way to score 5 runs. Mason Price, a good at bat, got a coast to walk. And then 5 straight hits, and next thing you know, it was 5-5 heading into the 6th. Both teams had a great chance to score in the 6th. Bean had runner on third, nobody out, and the Elks were able to wiggle off the hook there. And then in the home half of the 6th, Oak City had the bases loaded and 2 out, and then kind of a scramble play off of a pass ball. Forced the third out of the inning on the Elk City side. Then, you know, bottom of the 7th, Elk City got the bases loaded with 1 out. Guy Keys delivered a walk-off single that ended the regional and put the Elks in the state tournament for the first time since 2004. Yeah, it was an awesome experience out there at Ackley. Great crowd. I cannot emphasize enough how cool it was to see the crowds that were on hand both Thursday and Friday. It was spectacular. And one other guy you have to mention on Friday was Jaden Kranick. It's a kid, a senior, came in for Matt Bales in the 3rd inning, bases loaded. I think there was 1 out maybe. He gave up a double and scored 2. But from there, he put up 4 straight zeros in the 4th through the 7th innings, and that was a huge part of why the Elks were able to come back, because, you know, it's one thing to be able to score 5. It's another if you have to figure out a way to get 8 or 9. And Kranick just slammed the door on being, you know, he wasn't perfect by any stretch. Gave us some hits, and there were some runners here and there, but he always found a way to get the key outs. And he threw strikes. He didn't put anybody on board unnecessarily. And, man, you can't say enough about Jaden Kranick's performance in relief of Matt Bales there on Friday, and that was a humongous part of why the Elks were able to come back and win that game.
And he was your McDonald's player of the game,
yeah.
With how he came in and took care of business, and you know, the elephant in the room, the question, there's a controversial ejection. I don't know if it was too controversy, but Mason Price tossed for not sliding into the home plate. And I guess the question that was asked to me on Saturday and Friday night and all day Saturday was, will he be available?
He wasn't ejected, first off.
Okay. Clear some air there. Clear it up.
Yeah, he wasn't ejected. He was banished to the bench, which holds a distinction in that he's fine for this week.
Well, good.
Yeah. They made that, you know, that motion that you're used to seeing when ejections happen, but that was wrong. He was banished to the bench for the remainder of that game, but he was not ejected. So his status is fine for the week.
Banished to the bench.
Yeah, I never really heard of that, but
well, now anyhow, I know the title of today's show. Banished to the bench.
Yeah, and you know, of course the jokes write themselves. It's like, you know, it wouldn't be an Oak City playoff game without Mason Price getting kicked out, and then not really getting kicked out. You know, that's what after the game, I was talking to Coach Hunt, and he was telling that, you know, he was going to have to give Michael a hard time about bailing his kid out again, make sure he could play. You know, everybody's teasing, but no, it was a great day. It was a fun day. It was it's something that hasn't happened around Elk City in a long time. You know, 2002 was the last time that Elk City hosted a regional tournament in baseball. 2004, the last time the Elks were able to make it to the state tournament. Haven't won a state tournament game since 2001. You know, there's just and for somebody my age, you know, quite honestly, making it to the state baseball tournament felt kind of like one of those things that happens all the time. Back, you know, in the early to mid-90s, you know, from that stretch from 94 to 04, Oak City was in the state tournament five or six different times. I think it was six. 94, 95, 98, 01, 02, and 04. You know, you get used to going, and then when you haven't been there in 20 years, you kind of forget. I was kind of trying to figure out, where is it, you know? It used to be in Shawnee. Is it still in Shawnee? You know, how does it all work? Because it's been so long. So, you know, just it's awesome. I think once you get there, obviously any of the eight has the chance. The Elks, with what they can do, rolling cash out there, I assume on Thursday, you know, he can gives you a chance. He gives you a chance to win any game that's played because of how good he is on the mound, you know. And so, you know, from there, who knows what can happen afterwards. But at the end of the day, it's still just an awesome thing to see Oak City baseball back where it really needs to be, and that is in the 5-4A state tournament.
Well, now, I asked you yesterday, I don't know if you have any more information of when will we know where they play, who they play.
Well, I'm 100% confident that they're going to play Verdigris at Shawnee. Time-wise, who knows? Because here's the thing. There's still one last if game today. There was one yesterday, and there's one today to finalize the eight teams in the state tournament. I don't know if the OSSA will go ahead and kind of the difference is the format is already set. So, you know, Regional 1, which was Tuttle, will play Region 8 in the first round. 4 and 5 will play each other, which that's Elk City and Verdigris. And then, you know, 7 and 2 and 6 and 3 on down the road. So you know who you're playing, you know where you're playing. Now it's just a matter of when do they want to, what times are they going to be? If you look at what happened last week with Class A and B, 4 and 5 were the first game, right? Dewar and whoever they played in the first round, you know, that was the first game of the day.
Yeah.
And the same thing in B, and then 1 and 8 was next, and so on and so forth. So if you go by that, that would mean the Elks will be playing the first game of the day. If not, you know, it could change. But that's going to remain to be seen. I don't know. Sometime today, probably, because I think that if game is until 4 o'clock. I'm thinking Christian and somebody. I can't. Salisbury, maybe.
Okay.
Anyhow. And so, you know, that game's not until 4 o'clock. So I don't know if they go ahead and kind of release a bracket that has everybody that's qualified, and then kind of this or that, depending on who wins, you know, kind of have them both in there. That way they can, you know, get the times already out there. I don't know if that's going to happen or if they're going to go ahead and wait until this evening to officially release that once they find out who the other team in the bracket is.
Right. Okay.
Well, but hey, there's a state tournament game today, a state final today too, right?
That's where I was going to go next. We had the Class A state championship game today, Canute and Red Oak. Canute getting a win on Saturday, 8-2 over Dewar, and Red Oak getting a tough win over Tushka, 7-6. I was kind of following that game. I went to the Canute game, watched it. I'll start there. Colt Randall on the mound. He went the distance, and he was fantastic. Gave up a run. I believe it was in the third inning. And then Canute came back with the four-run spot to answer, and they never looked back and pulled away, winning 8-2. I'm going off the top of my head. Dalton Williams had an RBI double. I mean, what was nice about Canute is what a sign of a mature team to me was the pitcher that Dewar threw out there. He was a curveball hurler. And after the first round of the lineup went and saw him, they it was the second time around, like, okay, now we know what to do. Now we know what to expect. They were swinging early into the pitch count and making Dewar pay for it. And Dewar basically just ran out of pitching. They ran with that guy as long as they could until his pitch limit was up. And now, by virtue, and I was kind of asking around this, by virtue of this rain delay, of course, they didn't play yesterday. It looks like, now I'm completely speculating, and Kobe Maddox, the Canute's ace, who, if you remember right, back in the fall of 2020, mm-hmm. he was the state championship pitcher against Fort Cobb and Bricktown on that Saturday afternoon. Now, we'll see. He gave it I think he went the full distance on Thursday against Hydro Eakley, and so he's going to be fully rested between then and now, and that's quite an advantage for Canute, but probably an advantage for Red Oak as well because they got a day of rest. So it could be number one versus number one pitchers for the state title, which is at high noon over at Shawnee. Expected to go in. I had a feeling Red Oak was going to get there. Had a feeling. I think I had told you that off air one time. I said I got a feeling about Red Oak even before the state tournament was finalized. So best versus best here. In my opinion, Class B, it's going to be a familiar team playing for the state championship there, Fort Cobb Broxton. They're going to take on Roff, number one Roff versus number two Fort Cobb Broxton. That immediately follows the Class A state championship game around 3 o'clock. And is anyone shocked Fort Cobb is there? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I don't think it's full of shock at who that matchup is.
No.
You know, Roff has been one of those teams as well, baseball, basketball. They've been right at or near the top of whatever class they've been in. You know, baseball, it feels like they kind of toggle back and forth between A and B sometimes. And they played in the state championship basketball game the last 2 years, a couple of just heartbreaking losses that they suffered in that final basketball game that hadn't stopped them on the baseball field. They have been fantastic. So that's, man, if you drew it up before, as far as, you know, what ought to be a great game, what ought to be, you know, I think for me, probably got both matchups that you really wanted to see. You wanted to see Canute play Red Oak, and you wanted to see Roth play Fort Cobb. And that's what we're going to get in A and B, the state tournaments today. In baseball. So I think this is kind of a dream come true for everybody around Oklahoma high school baseball to see these two matchups today.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for it. Can't wait to find out where Elk City is going to be or who they play on Thursday. We have a good idea, but I'm just real anxious that tournament going.
They're
going to
play Verdigris.
Yeah. But, you know, where we think Shawnee and you think about 11 o'clock or noon, so something like that. But that's completely unofficial. Once that goes official, it's going to spread like wildfire, pardon the pun, but it's going to be out here, and everybody's going to know about it. What do you want to do? You want to take a break, come back, discuss where you want to talk golf, about what you're doing
today?
Yeah,
we can talk golf in a little bit. Other things from the weekend, congratulations to Bregan Barnett. She is the Class 2A 300-meter hurdle state champion. state champion from out at Merritt. She blew away the field in the final. I think she won by over a second in that 300-meter hurdle. It's one of the hardest races there is. So Bregan is the individual state champion. Also, for the fourth straight year in Class 4A girls, Weatherford, as a team, the Weatherford Lady Eagles, are the team track state champs. Some golf to wrap up on Friday in 4A. Chloe Cummins from Weatherford was a all-stater up there at Cushing, and that just slop that was Buffalo Rock. I feel sorry for the 3A boys that are there today. I'm sure there's ruts that weren't there Thursday morning from different people trying to get around that place. But so congratulations to all those folks. As you said, Elk City Tennis boys are playing regionals. Girls play their state tournament this weekend. All six girls qualified for the state tournament, so that was a heck of a year for them with a senior and a bunch of underclassmen, so they ought to be back. Boys tennis, they're all probably going to be the one seeds in their regional. We'll see how that goes. All six, you know, both double teams, both singles, are supposed to are favored to be in the state tournament coming up this weekend. Carter Sanger is defending number two single state champ individually for Elk City. So there's a lot, man. It feels like it's kind of winded down, right? But there's still a lot to go. Including right up here at Bowling Springs that we can talk about after the break.
All right, we'll do that coming up next. We'll talk to Aaron about the Big Elk's quest for another state title in golf. And he's played that course. I've played that course. Maybe break down that course a little bit and see what it's going to take for the Big Elks to do just that. That and more. We got Jim Traber coming up, too, about 9:30. Keep it right here. Skinny on Sports on the Animal.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said we're people before property.
You have to have trust. You have to have trust with who you're working with. If you don't have trust, I don't think I'd want to work with that person. I feel like I'm a trustworthy person. I feel like our agency is a trustworthy company.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, The Sports Animal. Jared Athan, studio. Aaron Kauk on location. He's at Boiling Springs Golf Course, which is just a little north of Woodward, getting ready for the 4A Boys State Golf Tournament, two-day event, playing 18 today, 18 tomorrow, and the Big Elks are there and seeing if they can get another state title, a tradition that's long-running here in Elk City. And Aaron, like I said, going the break, I've been there, you've been there plenty of times, you're there recently, and there's been some changes made to that golf course. You've talked about it, kind of opened it up a little bit. First off, break down the conditions. Now, surely it's not as treacherous as it was up in Cushing, like you mentioned, too. I'm going to imagine it's a little drier there.
Yeah, to say the least. It's going to be 100, and the wind's going to be blowing, which down in some of these different areas, it's going to be really, really hot this afternoon. And, you know, even as we start to make the turns around here, 36 holes today, 18 holes tomorrow. The Elks come in off of a runner-up finish in the regional tournament, pretty far back of, golly, I can't remember who won their regional. Anyway, Nathan Womack and Mason Schmidt are the two guys that'll have to lead this team. You know, Nathan won, they finished 1-2, I think, up here in the regular season tournament at Woodward. You know, Nathan was the individual regional champion last week over at Weatherford. And so those guys have played really well. And it's going to take that. It has to take that for the team to have any chance to win, because, you know, we've lost three seniors off of last year's state runner-up. And so there's some guys that just don't have any experience. A couple of freshmen. Baylor Goldston, who hasn't really been in the heat of the state tournament. So, you know, if the Elks are going to do something as a team, it's going to start and end with Nathan and Mason. I would suspect both of those guys, no matter how the team turns out, which obviously you want that to go well, but no matter how that team championship goes, those guys are going to be in the fight
for that individual state championship crown, which that's something that Trace Hill was able to do a year ago. You know, the team got second. Trace was the individual champ, fourth, I believe, in the long history of Elk City Golf. Corey Smith, Derek Smith, and also Tyler Russell before him. And so, you know, I think we'll see how the team aspect of this goes. But I think individually, for sure, those two guys are going to have a chance. And here's, you know, it's this golf course, if you haven't been up here in a while, it is completely different than what you remember. You know, it was kind of like tunnel golf before with you know, tree line. You hit it, you didn't even go look for it because you couldn't find balls in the trees or whatever. They have cleaned thousands of trees out of here. And I think what it's done is it's allowed the air to get moving, and the greens are off the charts. Everybody listening at home, if you get a chance, come up here. It is, like you said, I played a week ago Saturday. By far the best condition I've ever seen these greens. It's not even close. Nice and firm. They roll true. They're pretty speedy. And quite frankly, with clearing things out, this golf course is way more fun to play now because it's not, okay, I hit it 5 yards off the fairway and I could never find it. I mean, you can definitely go in and you can hit it and back onto the fairway. Sometimes you can even, you know, advance it toward the green in a lot of situations. So kudos to the staff. Kudos to everybody that's been involved in kind of turning this thing around because right now Boiling Springs is a true gem up here in Northwest Oklahoma.
Talk about team golf. What teams do you consider could be one of the favorites?
Oh, I'm sure the three Halls, Kasha, Holland, and Heritage, you know, that probably goes without saying those three teams will be up or near the top of the leaderboard. That just kind of, it feels like that's almost like a broken record right now in 4A golf. You know, the Elks had their shot at them last year at Kasha Hall, unable to get it done. It's funny. It's kind of funny to watch because there's 12 teams playing, and it feels like you've got 9 on one side, 3 on the other. You know what I mean? With the public versus private stuff, which, you know, we don't deal with much, at least in 4A, not a ton, like some of the smaller classifications. But it certainly is the case here. So I think one of the three halls is probably who you're looking for as the favorite.
Definitely tell it's windy. I can hear it.
Yeah,
you can tell it's a little breezy out there. So you said, and I was mistaken. It's 36 holes today.
Yeah,
and 18
today
tomorrow.
And 18 tomorrow.
Gotcha.
That's right.
So when does Elk City tee off?
They are teeing off as we speak. 8:56. Keaton Twyman went off. 9:04, 9:12, 9:20, and 9:28 are the final ones. I'm looking up the hill here at number 10. I saw Nathan Womack's granddad still standing there. I can't tell if Mason's still on the tee or not, but I know Nathan is still waiting to put his ball in the air with the first tee shot on number 10 here at Bowling Springs. So, you know, it's kind of cool to have it. Not necessarily a little bit more local, I guess, with Woodward as opposed to traveling across the strait to the state to Ardmore or Cushing or, you know, even in the Oklahoma City area for some of these state tournaments in the past.
And we'll have updates throughout the day on BigOakTV.com. We'll see highlights of the guys. Try to get as accurate scores as possible as we kind of get an idea of as a team how, or individually and as a team, how Elk City is doing. Now, usually don't get scores from other teams until the rounds have been completed. So by the end of the day, we're going to know a lot, and we'll see a lot of good golf today, I suspect, and a lot of good teams there, including the Big Elks. So I'm looking forward to the rest of today and tomorrow to see how everything shakes out. Let's take a break. Coming up, we're going to get Jim Traber on the phone, talk with him for the next 30 minutes, and get his thoughts on all things sports, both locally and nationally and worldwide. Keep it right here. It's the Skinny on Sports on 91 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the Sports Animals.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said, what about, were people before property?
Well, it means that you put the person that you're working with or the family that you're working with, you put their interests first. You make sure that you find the right property for them at the price that they can afford. and make sure that you take good care of them through the process.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports. On the Sports Animal, KADS, the Sports Animal, Jared Atha in studio. Aaron Kauk on the road. He's up in Boiling Springs covering the 4A Boys Golf State Tournament, where the Elk City Elks are at. Other teams in that tournament, Woodward, we mentioned the Halls, Kasha Heritage, and Holland Hall. Probably the three teams we got to keep an eye on. Of course, Elk City got to keep an eye on. But other teams of note, Woodward is there. Right there on their home track. I'm assuming that's where they play their home golf. Aaron, am I right or wrong about that? I know Moreland claims Boiling Springs is theirs. Does Woodward do too?
I would hope so. For them, it would be a lot better to play Boiling Springs than it would be to play Crystal Beach. I know that.
Yeah. Well, Crystal Beach, nothing against – I like Crystal Beach. You know why I like Crystal Beach? I call it a lunchtime golf course. If I were working in Woodward, you can go out there and try to hit nine as quick as you could. But right there in the middle of town. But, yeah, Boiling Springs, something to keep an eye on might be an advantage for Woodward. Let's see here. Other towns, Tuttle is there. Tuttle seems like they're at the top of every sport as of late. And, of course, Elk City. So we'll have updates throughout the day on BigElkTV.com. We're efforting Jim Traber, unable to get him on. I wonder if he just had too much fun on Mother's Day and just maybe still asleep. Who knows? But, if we get him on, we'll bring him in and talk to him about sports, local sports. What else is on your mind, Aaron? You know, over the weekend, a big, big Bedlam softball matchup that saw OU sweep OSU, and now it sets up the Big 12 tournament. Did you catch any of that? And now they were on, all three were on some ESPN network. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, just like a bad spot here, Jared.
Okay. You just pop in anytime, but
I'm trying not to be loud. Hang on. If I could drive ahead, if you guys would hit off number 11, then I could pull ahead and get out in front of everybody and be able to talk to people a bit better. No, Bedlam softball. Oh, you did what they do. Oklahoma State's a fantastic team. There's no doubt about that. But it's a different animal. I think Kenny Gajewski has talked about that a bunch of different times. That Oklahoma State. Yeah, we're good. We're a College World Series type team, but it's a totally different monster down there in Norman. Allo yesterday with the Grand Slam, it was almost like a Hollywood script was written there for her on senior day to be able to kind of get that go-ahead Grand Slam for the Sooners. So, I wouldn't necessarily, I'm not counting OSU out, even if those two teams were to play and say, the championship series and whatnot. But, for Oklahoma, they got to feel really good. If you're a Sooner fan about where that program is, where it's headed, and where it's been, I mean, Patty Gasso is just, she's phenomenal. I think you can make the case, and this may hurt some OU football fans' feelings, but you make the case that she's the greatest coach in the history of the school with what she's done, and this is going to be one of the better seasons in the history of softball.
Well, the Big 12 tournament bracket is out. Oklahoma, number one, they get a bye. They'll take on the winner of Iowa State and Baylor. And Oklahoma State, this two seed, they take on Kansas. I'm efforting dates here. Thursday will be the opening round. So Oklahoma State will play Kansas on Thursday at 3 p.m. OU, they will play on Friday at 1 p.m. again versus the winner of Iowa State and Baylor. And the other matchup, Texas and Texas Tech. That one's happening on Thursday at 6 o'clock, and all intents and purposes, it looks like it could be a Bedlam final. Because Oklahoma State, it's – Gajewski's right. You go to Norman senior weekend, basically, Mother's Day weekend on top of everything else, and that's a tough place to go and win. I think it's in the bag for OU to host the Super Regional. That's happening. Oklahoma State, I think, they almost needed just one win. Just one win against OU, and then they're kind of on that super regional bubble. I saw that talked about over the weekend, and I don't know if that bubble has popped or if they could host the super regional. They're right there on the cusp of it, though. Do you think they have to have a good showing in the Big 12 tournament to maybe change some minds about hosting or having to travel?
probably a minimum of playing in the finals against Oklahoma for them to be able to secure that super regional host. They'll be hosting their regional, but then the super
right.
being one of those top eight seeded teams would certainly help. Hey, I want to tell you, speaking of snowball, I went to O'Brien Stadium on Saturday night.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
I'm going to tell you something. That place is off the charts. You don't even feel like you're at a college baseball game. It's like you're in the brick or something. Man, it's phenomenal. And I tell you what, the Cowboys weren't playing. The greatest of opponent was Southeast Missouri State, but they can hit the baseball, and it's not necessarily. Yesterday, they hit four home runs on Saturday. It was more kind of gap to gap power. Until every other guy was hitting a double and knocking in a run or two. I was thoroughly impressed with Hoshi's baseball team in that stadium. If you get a chance, it doesn't even matter who's playing. If you get a chance to go to that stadium, you need to take advantage of it because it's just not something you see anywhere in the country. There can't be more than one or two better parks in the country than what's out there in Stillwater at O'Brien. It is just phenomenal experience. And the cool thing was, it was graduation on Saturday up there, and it wasn't a Big 12 opponent, so the crowd was a little bit sparse, which meant at the end of the third inning, you could move to any seat. We ended up with five rows up right behind the plate, so it's pretty good seats. Hey, I'm gonna mute you for a second while I drive.
Do your thing. Yeah, that stadium is fantastic. It's something that you build a stadium like that, usually good teams follow, and OSU has a really, like what Aaron just said, a really, really good baseball team. And then kind of, looking ahead, we kind of talk about OSU softball and hosting the Super Regional. I think OSU baseball kind of in that same area. They have some questionable losses, but they have some really impressive wins and series wins, and it might take them to a strong showing in the Big 12 tournament. It's going to be played down in Arlington, and to maybe host a Super Regional. But I mean, it's an arms race. We see it in football with facilities. It rings true in every sport. And OSU has it going on with O'Brien Stadium and what they're doing. I watched a baseball game, or I had it on Saturday night. It was, who was this? Mississippi State in Florida, in that stadium. And it's like this in every stadium in the SEC. They look like not even minor league stadiums. Sometimes they look like major league stadiums. They're so big and they're so packed full of fans. And that way of thinking is going to have to change for, you mentioned the sparse crowd, and I get it was a graduation weekend. So other things were going on, but I'm preaching to OU too. They got to improve their facilities. The fans have got to show up because it is a completely different animal once they get to the SEC. It's going to be very, 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 very tough. But cool stuff. I'm anxious to get out to O'Brien Stadium when that time comes. I would love to see that stadium. Let's see here. We had NBA basketball's Aaron. He is at Boiling Springs, and he has muted me because he is on a golf cart following some golfers. We're going to have updates on golf throughout the day on BigElkTV.com. And we can shift our focus to the NBA playoffs. Yesterday, a couple of games took place. The Mavericks took down the Suns 111-101, tying that series 2-2. And the 76ers, they have life. Helps that James Harden scores 31 points. They beat the Heat 116-108. That series, too, is tied at 2 apiece. Games tonight, Celtics and Bucks, where Milwaukee leads at 2-1. Can the Celtics even that one up? I got a feeling they will. And Grizzlies and Warriors, man, Ja Morant, it looks like he is out for tonight's game with the injury, and that is such a shame because he is the reason this series in the Grizzlies are one of my dark horse teams, and I think this series could go to the whole full seven if Ja Morant was in. But with Ja Morant out, that really, really hampers the Grizzlies' chances to beat the Warriors. You back with us, Aaron?
Yeah, I can be here for just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, how about James Harden? Maybe the stories of his demise were a little bit exaggerated, right? I mean, he was James Harden last night, and that's what it's going to take for Philly to be able to be that true contender that everybody thought they might be when they made that trade, right? I mean, they traded for James Harden, but they didn't really get James Harden. But then all of a sudden last night, man, there he was with 31. You know, he had been kind of a facilitator, it felt like, through a lot of these early games in the series. Last night, it looked like he had a little bit more, you know, pep in his step. He was able to get around some guys and knock down some tough shots. So that was a lot more of what I think Philly thought they got when they made that trade for James Harden. And yeah, it's fun to see. You know, it was a little bit disappointing to start, I think, this round outside of Boston, Milwaukee. You know, the other two series, you know, 2-2-0s, you know, Golden State Memphis was fun, but it didn't necessarily look like it was going to be a long one. And, you know, the Morant injury really kind of stinks for the prospects moving forward there. But, you know, Dallas wins 2 on their home floor. Philly wins 2 on their home floor. I would not be shocked at all if Boston isn't able to pick one off against Milwaukee. And you know, we were looking forward to the semifinal round in the playoffs. It started a little bit slow, but it's caught up, and it looks like it's going to be an absolute battle in a lot of those series, which is what you want to see. You know, after the first round, like I mentioned, it was time for the kiddie table to be put up, and it was the big boy table from here on out. And we're starting to see that, you know, with what's going on in some of these series as the scene switched. You know, we see it all the time. Role players play better, or Dallas' role players played way better at home than they did at Phoenix. Phoenix's guys kind of slipped a little bit, and so the Mavs are able to even that up. Same thing happened in Philly. And, oh, by the way, Philly got back what may not going to be the MVP, but probably should. I think if you were on the fence about who was the MVP of the season, I think Joel Embiid just answered every question you had, because Philly looked dead in the water without him, and they looked pretty formidable with him.
I want to come back to James Harden, but the MVP, it's come out that Jokic is the guy. He's going to win his second straight MVP award, but there are questions. You know, I mean, I know how you feel. Embiid, I thought he was a clear front runner right there with Jokic, but the voters saw it otherwise. And you think they got it right?
Yeah, Jokic was awesome. It's hard. The problem with, like, arguing too much for Embiid is it feels like you're arguing against Jokic. Jokic was fantastic, you know, and it's not like he's undeserving. But I think when you see Embiid's impact on the Sixers in these last couple of games, now I get it, they're at home, so some of those other guys may be able to play a little bit better as role players at home than they do on the road. But man, he just changes everything, and I don't think you can. I don't think that you can understate how much easier it is for a James Harden, for a Tyrese Maxey, for Tobias Harris, those guys, when Embiid is actually out on the floor. You know, it opens up things that just aren't there when he's not. And kudos to that dude. Man, he played with a torn meniscus last year in the playoffs, battled through. You know, he's playing with a broken face and all the different things. I mean, that guy is a tough character. And, you know, he's had some ups and downs a little bit, probably mentally and physically and, you know, emotionally and being grown up enough early on in his career. But I don't think there's any doubt about where he's at right now as a human, as a player in this league. He's one of the top 3 or 4 or 5 going and will be for a while.
So, okay, I got distracted. People are blowing up my phone. I guess if you're not here, they blow up my phone.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, hey, let's take a break so I can mute this and move on down the path a little bit.
Okay.
So I can be in position to shoot some videos. And when we come back, we haven't talked about the most amazing thing of the entire weekend. I'll tell you what that is.
I would love to know what that is. And you already mentioned Obrite Stadium, which was pretty amazing, so it has to be pretty bigger than that. That's crazy to think. So we'll hear what that is coming up. Keep it right here. Wrap up Skinny on Sports next, right here on the Sports Animal.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said is, what about, were people before property?
People before property means to me that you care about the person more than you care about what they're buying, in that you want them to get the best thing for their circumstances, the best home, the best investment.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Mock! Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah!
Wrapping up your Monday version of the Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the Sports Animal. Jared Atha in studio. We have Aaron Kalk on location at Boiling Springs following the Big Elk Golf Team as they are in the 4A Boys State Golf Tournament and looking to continue their successful history of high school golf at Boiling Springs up near Woodward. We'll get updates all day long on BigElkTV.com. Usually on top of every hour, tune on in. We'll see some highlights and get some latest scores and see where they're at. Again, Aaron, on location, you teased us, Aaron. Now, what was the most exciting thing over the weekend? I had a lot of exciting stuff, but what was your most exciting thing over the weekend?
Hang on just a second.
Someone must be putting.
Yeah, gotta tee up here.
Okay.
And there's no doubt what it is, Jared. It's the Kentucky Derby.
Of course. Of course, the Kentucky Derby. And what was cool is such a long shot, and the owner, one of the owners, from Edmond. So there's some Oklahoma ties there.
Yeah. And they got the horse there, like, early morning. There's no chance they thought he was going to win, right?
Right.
Just happy to be there. And then have you seen the video from, like, the blimp or whatever, like, above, of how, where he came from and
yes.
how he got there?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, not even
run.
The fact of how far back he was, but where that horse was from outside, then could go into the inside, to the rail, and he saw that gap and took it, and it just – and the owner said, he said he's a long runner, meaning it – you know, going a mile and a quarter, as the Kentucky Derby is, it once he got that stride, he kind of, you know, you saw it. I mean, how he went and took the lead, which bodes well, I mean, for a horse that is a long runner for the other upcoming races in the Triple Crown because they're longer courses. But that was – it's a great story. It's a great story.
Oh, man, second longest shot ever at 80-1. And it just – you know, the Edmund ties obviously is kind of cool. The way finagled his way in there to be able to get that done. The way he ran, you'd never think he was an 80-1. It looked like, you know, he knew what he was doing and supposed to do it. And then after it's over, he became the alpha of all alphas. He gets done, he starts biting that dude's leg, starts trying to bite that other horse. I mean, it was like, what's up? I'm here now. I'm owning this deal. Who wants some? You want some? You want some? It's like as soon as he won, he realized what his lot in life was going to be as one of the stud horses. You know, after he gets done running, he was ready to start that right then, biting people and trying to hunch people. I mean, it was incredible. Like, you know, the Kentucky Derby, I think I've never been there outside of the Masters. I think it was like my second bucket list thing in sports is the Kentucky Derby. And I feel like with the crowd that's there, you probably have to walk around with your pinky up in the air, sipping on your cocktail or whatever you might be drinking. I feel like it's kind of that hoity-toity type of crowd.
Yeah.
And for that horse to act like he acted, I'm sure
love it.
That there was a bunch of people like, oh, no. it was like the crazy cousin showed up and did something good so you couldn't kick him out.
He crashed the party for sure. I loved it. I saw some tweets. You probably saw them too. Because of the Oklahoma ties, like, well, now he needs to be an honorary pony to pull the schooner at an OU game. And someone replied or someone else said, oh, no, he needs to, you know, be Bullet for one game at OSU, you know, run out the what they do. So That is cool. It's cool stuff. Now, as far as his chances at the Triple Crown, I think those odds are pretty high too. But that is so cool with a local horse like that. You know, another thing we didn't talk about over the weekend, or what happened over the weekend, it was Mother's Day. Did you do anything for Mom or the mothers in your life, Aaron?
I did. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm going to be loud here for just a second. I took my mother out for lunch yesterday after church. Just the two of us. My sisters had other things going, so they didn't go with us. That's fine. So we went to go and had a little lunch. And then I had to do a bunch of work before I could leave today. So I had to go do, I did a ton of work. About 3 or 4 hours worth yesterday at the station. And then I went home and I will shoot you a video. I mean, I'll shoot you a picture of the incredible meal that I created for my wife on Mother's Day. I mean, it was cooked a couple of strip steaks. It was our first rendezvous into the newest beef that we've purchased from our buddy Monty Tucker. And they were awesome. Cooked to a perfect medium rare, if I do say so myself. And, we tried a new dish that we're going to have to work on a little bit. We tried grilled sweet potatoes.
Grilled?
The idea was good. Yeah, what you do, you parboil them to where they're pretty well cooked. You take them out of the water. You let them cool. And then you slice them into, say, wedges or circles.
Yeah.
And then you take them out. You essentially just mark them with grill marks and heat them back all the way through. We probably tried to make them a little too healthy. In the video I watched from one of the superstar chefs, Bobby Flay, he had a compound butter of molasses and orange zest and that he smeared all over them, you know,
yeah,
after it was over. That's probably something that we need to look into to get a little bit more flavor on the sweet potato as opposed to just salt and pepper. Like, I'm afraid, I mean, if people don't know, my wife is the dietitian at the hospital at Elk City Great Plains Regional. And so, you know, we obviously veer a little bit toward the more healthy options than maybe I would like to at times. And this is certainly one of those cases where, you know, we probably should have compounded some butter with, maybe brown sugar, maybe cinnamon. I know we have some honey, some spun honey right now that we could have probably smeared on them that would have made them taste a little bit better. But no, that's what I did. What'd you do?
Well, my wife and kids and mother-in-law on Saturday, they went to Oklahoma City to, you mentioned Pinky in the air, to a tea party. It was like a Mother's Day tea party. It was at the Skirvin. And
oh my.
Yeah, so they stayed the night. They went ahead and got a room and stayed the night. So it gave me time. You know, I went to the baseball game, then came home, and I was like, okay, I got time to prepare for Mother's Day. So, you know, and on the way home, picked up some flowers for all the ladies in my life and had that all prepared. And I was prepared. I think I mentioned this to you. My wife, I asked her, what do you want as your meal? What do you want for dinner on Sunday night? She said, I want grill. We have some salmon. She goes, I want to grill that salmon. I've never grilled salmon, so I've been doing a lot of homework on that and studying, and I got my my grocery list ready. Okay, I need this, I need this, I need this. Well, I talked to her before I went to the store on Sunday, and she said, oh, by the way, her uncle's in town, and he's going to cook for us. So my plans to grill the salmon were out the window. It's fine. We had some good meat. But for my mother-in-law, she has redone her backyard. It's really nice. Put like a spa back there and a covered porch and everything. Well, she asked me to hang her TV. I thought, oh, no problem. Hanging a TV on brick is very hard. You have to have the exact right tools, the right drill bit and everything. So I spent most of my afternoon in the 100-degree heat hanging a TV. But she's a mother in my life, so I gladly did it. And we got that done. So hung out with family a lot and girls got to swim because it was so hot outside, and that was it, really. So it was just a nice Sunday afternoon, and it's going to be a nice Monday afternoon at Boiling Springs. That's where Aaron's at. I think he's muted me because he is on a golf cart.
Yeah.
He's moving around. But
I have reached my first destination here. Okay. 13th, par 3, waiting on the Elks to get here. I keep twining this back.
He had just teed off of number 12. So we've actually, I think I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to add you into this. I'm going to add you into this group text. Sean has got the Elk City parents texting us scores. So that might help you in your endeavors when we shoot these videos.
Yeah. Go ahead and do that. Yeah, and again, we're going to have these updates on BigElkTV.com. Probably the first one around the 11 o'clock hour, and on the top of every hour throughout the day, playing 36 holes today. So we're giving them some time to get some holes in so we can get some scores. And they'll play 18 tomorrow. And based on how they finish today, Aaron, does that determine their tee time for tomorrow?
Correct. That's exactly what will happen. So I will have to see how the 36 holes shakes out. I can tell you that Braden Duncan is 2 over through 2, a double bogey on number 10, then he parred number 11, which honestly I think you'd assume that would happen the other way around. But 2 over through 2 for Braden Duncan. You know, Mason Schmidt was just teed off of number 10, looked like he drove it right up the side of the green, so he'll have a chance to make a birdie there on the first hole. And as I mentioned, you know, the Elks, this is going to be good experience for a couple of these guys that are freshmen. You know, Mason and Nathan were here last year in the heat of the battle for the team title. And I think those guys are going to be in the heat of the battle for the individual title. Remains to be seen if they can kind of kick everybody up far enough for the Elks to be a serious threat as a team, or if some of these younger guys, you know, play really well. That's always, you know, anything's possible. That's the cool thing about, I think, maybe this golf course in particular at Bowling Springs is there's definitely some holes that are difficult, but it also affords you a lot of chances to make some birdies. So I wouldn't be surprised. The wind's kicking up a little bit, so it's going to be, you know, with the firm greens, the fast greens, you know, with the shortness of this golf course and as pure as these greens are, it wouldn't shock me if somebody shot 500 or 600 at some point today. Now the wind may kick up enough to where that's going to be a hard score to shoot, but it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see something pretty far under par. If somebody gets hot and you know, hits the fairways and is able to make some putts and hit some short irons really close, so I'm interested after playing here a week ago Saturday and seeing the condition of the course and and the firmness. But also, you know, how much more open it is, you know, where an errant tee shot isn't an automatic double almost. It's not that way anymore on most holes. Now there's a couple you can't hit it right on number 12. You'll be into the river. You can't hit it right off of 14 very much, or you'll be in the forest. But outside of kind of those two tee shots, you know, there's some other spots where you can't go. But the difference in this place now versus how it has been is there's a bailout to the other side, where before there really wasn't much bailout. Outside of 1 and 18, there really wasn't much room anywhere to hit errant shots. It's a lot more forgiving now than it was with all those thousands of trees that they clear out of here. And like I said earlier, I think it makes the course a lot more fun. It makes the course a lot more playable. And it also, I think, has allowed for air movement, and this place is awesome. It's going to get rave reviews, I know, from everybody that's out here. I already talked to Twine, and one of my high school teammates, and he was just already like, "Man, these greens are unbelievable." I'm like, "Yeah, I was here 2 weeks ago. I couldn't believe it either, from what we are used to." But yeah, it's going to be a good test. It's going to be a fun test, and I wouldn't be shocked if somebody doesn't take it pretty low. In one of these two rounds, if they can get it in the fairway, get it going with some short irons and make it a putt.
Very good. Aaron, we're out of time. Have fun out there. Stay cool, I guess. You're not going to get any rain.
Stay hydrated.
I mean, yes.
Stay hydrated.
Yes. At least you have a golf cart, and you can create some kind of a breeze if you drive fast. But, yeah, stay hydrated. And
yeah, Twyman just asked me, he's like, "Man, wouldn't you want to do this again?" I was like, "Heck no. Walking 36 holes around this place? No, thank you. I'd die."
Exactly. Yeah, me too. All right, we got to get down out of here. We'll do this again tomorrow as Aaron will be out at Boiling Springs covering the Big Elk golf team on their quest for another state title. Again, BigElkTV.com. That's where you want to go. top of every hour, and you can see some highlights and latest scores and find out how the guys are doing. We're out of here. We'll do it again tomorrow. You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.